Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One, two, three. I think we clapped in unison.
That's a good today. One of our best. One of our best to date.
We were just saying off air that I can't believe Grace's wedding is next month. I said to someone, they were like, I was like, oh, I've got to go to the UK for Grace's wedding in May. And they were like, next month. I was like, oh my God, yes. So soon.
Yes.
I'm so soon. You're stressed about logistics. You're stressed about like bridal things.
I'm stressed about every single thing. Like I think this is very classic me to just ignore things that I don't want to think about, and it feels like they're suddenly coming, like they're suddenly crashing down on me, like shuttle buses and fucking getting wines to venues and like alterations, like all the boring not sexy things that you put off.
They've
all suddenly arrived, and you were very correct where you just said try and you can get to a point where you just want it to be over because you feel so stressed by it and you completely lose sight of the whole purpose.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't wait for the happiest day of my life to be over.
Yeah. I said that one of my friends just got back from a wedding and said that the bride was so stressed the whole few weeks leading up to it, was like having anxiety attacks, was just like so frazzled and stressed out, and said that she only enjoyed like the second half of the wedding maybe when she was just like, could finally dance. And I was like, God, that's just, I mean, that must just be the case for so many weddings and so many brides. Cause there's so, I mean, I felt like that about a 12 person birthday lunch. Like
that's
I felt
what I mean.
So stressed out about it. So I can't imagine.
I hate to host.
Hate to host as well.
And then when there's, you feel this weird responsibility for the logistics of other people. Like, I'm already preemptively taking that on, which is stupid because it's like adults can get to a location. But I'm like, yes. Is everyone going to get there okay? Is it all going to be fine? Are people going to be stressed? Are their flights going to leave on? I don't know why that's all in my brain, but I just feel.
Take that all out of it.
I know. I need to empty it.
And it's so annoying because all you should be focused on is looking pretty.
Looking pretty. I know. I literally need to do that. I feel.
I feel like that, but it's your wedding. I was like, same. I need to stop having a cookie a day.
I know.
Cookie a day keeps the doctor away.
I like think about women who are so like disciplined in the lead up to their wedding. And I was like, when is this going to kick in? Oh, never. Like it's in 3 weeks, whenever it
is. I know.
A month.
I went and saw my woman, Lauren, who put me on my Botox diet. Because I was like, Lauren, the diet needs to end because what's happening? I'm aging by the day. I was like, let me in, like banging down her door. And then anyway, I like went and saw her yesterday and I was just like, I was talking to her, like, she was my therapist. I was like, oh, I feel sad. And she was like, why? And I was like, and I feel feral. And she was like, what? And I was like, feral. And she was like, what? I was like, how have you not heard of that? She just finds me so weird. I was like, I feel like a feral animal, Lauren, is what I'm saying. A sad one. And she was like, okay. But anyway, I was like, and the other thing is, I just, like, I think when I feel like this, which is sad, or as my friend put it the other day, likely depressed, I just, food is just so comforting. Mm. And it's like the thing that, and when you're really tired, when you're really overtired, it's like you just want food, you just want carbs, you just want to eat whatever to keep you sustained for the day. But then obviously if you're not eating healthy, it just makes you feel worse.
Yeah, it's crazy. All the things I even drank literally 2 glasses of wine last night and I feel just like hungover and feral and tired and unable to do quite literally anything.
Mine's like, I'm so tired that I get up in the morning and have a huge croissant from the bakery and then I sit there and work, and within like an hour and a half, I'm ordering like a huge breakfast burrito because I'm like just starving. And then I'm like, and then I got a cookie and then I had fries. Like, I'm just like tired and eating carbs. And it was really funny because she was like, which is obviously, I feel like I always have to, every time we talk about food, just be like, by the way, that is fine to eat what you want eat intuitively and like, and stuff like that. But it was just really funny because I was like to Lauren, because it just makes you feel worse and gluggy and you get fucking spikes from the sugar and stuff. Like, it's just like literally not good for you. Mm-hmm. But everything in moderation and little treats are great. And she was like, oh yeah, I don't really eat carbs. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, obviously like fruit and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't fucking count, does it?
Fruit.
And then she was like, yeah, banana's a carb. And then she was like, I was like, why? And she goes, because of the wedding in September.
In September, good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't even really eat fruit, I want to say, ever. The occasional strawberry.
I eat fruit in my smoothies, but then actually recently I bought some apples, which are nice to have in the fridge because then when you cut them up, you put them in the fridge, and then when you cut them up and put a little bit of peanut butter on the plate and dip the apple into the peanut butter and put some blueberries beside it, it's like a cute little snack.
That's so nice. An apple a day. I'm going to buy some apples and oranges. Like, I'm just getting back to realizing that life needs to be simple. I need to eat apples and oranges and I don't even know, normal toast from a bag.
We're going to speak about... I'm just laughing at like this, what's to come out of my mouth. We're going to speak about country music because of Beyonce's album, Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
And speaking of country, I just wrote a little piece for Rush about country road bags and how all the men in Sydney are holding them.
Again, once more.
Mm. Well, no, all the men didn't really have them. It was like the girlies back in the day.
Zach had them.
Did he?
He was a girlie.
Yeah, well, that's a very stylish man. I'm talking about, like, blokes.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm happy for them. Which shades? I honestly would like to have a country road bag now, if you're listening.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying take it back to the simplicity. Apples and oranges. This is where the country road bag comes in. Because the piece I wrote for Rush, I was like, I saw it. So one of my stories posted my friend Greta, who I'm assuming listens to the pod. She has like pod girl energy, but I'm yet to have that confirmed. She posted a story of a guy holding a country road bag and walking down the street. And she was like, I'd like to thank Jacob Elordi because every man in Sydney now has a country road bag. Jacob Elordi was papped in 2021 holding a khaki country road bag while leaving the gym and like rifling around in it. But then since he became super famous and has been wearing all the like Chanel bags and Louis Vuitton bags, everyone refound those photos and they went viral like 2 months ago. And she said that she's just spotted so many blokes with country road bags now. And she said, no women ever. And the crazy thing is they're all really hot. So then I was like to my Rush editor, I want to write about this. And she was like, can you just like make it more of a piece than just writing about that? So then I wrote about how basically we need to go back to simplicity when it comes to fashion and take it back to the simple days when luxury was a Casio gold watch. It was like your country road bag. It was a bloody Did you guys like diddly ponies in Australia? The handbags?
I believe so. I don't think I could ever afford one, but I remember they were
700 New Zealand dollars. And when I was 21, my ex-boyfriend Joe bought me one for Christmas. And it was like the craziest thing ever because $700 when you're 21. I was like, oh my God. And it was so special. It was like beige colored, like cream kind of thing. And then we broke up a few months later and he tried to get it back off me.
Did he? To what, resell?
I said, no way.
Did you break his heart?
I think to resell. Yeah, I broke his heart. Which I regret. Joe, if you're listening. Married with kids. His new girlfriend literally hates me also. So.
He wanted to give it to her?
It's a joke. He's learned how to make a fucking joke.
She's a generous gift giver. Congrats to
the
hun.
He tried to take it back. That's crazy. And then I was like, absolutely not. And then my friend came around and she goes, Joe's asked me to get the bag, but obviously I'm not doing
that. That's insane. That's too far.
We were like 21 and he was broke and I broke his heart. And I kind of understand. But have some fucking...
yeah, back to simplicity. I'm really into that too. This is the future. I haven't even bought anything this year. Part of that's because I'm broke because of the wedding. But even then,
I'm so broke too.
I'm deeply disinterested right now. That will suddenly change. That will change on a dime.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time, but it's kind of like... That's when you need to be worried, because when you've been deeply disinterested and then suddenly you look and then you go crazy.
You're riding for a fall. Yeah. And then you will go and buy something like so insane and deranged that it's far more than the accumulation of like a few little treats over a few months.
Exactly. Just putting the dog on my lap.
I have to say, let me see.
She's just here. Mm.
I literally can't deal with her. She's so precious. You're literally Elle Woods.
Sometimes she reminds me of you.
Oh, that's so cute.
She does like a little like face.
I see myself in her. A simple girl. I got this. So I went to, on the topic of Botox, I went to a facialist close by here and was asking her what I could feasibly do in 2 months before a wedding. And yep. She was amazing. And she basically immediately looked at my face and she said, did you get filler here? Which I did. I need to release the tapes of me when I got filler in my nasio label folds and my whole mouth was numb for 2 weeks. And I looked like a Who from Whoville at Milan Fashion Week. I didn't tell anyone. Maybe that's a Patreon tier, the highest tier. She could tell straight away that I got it, and she said that they shouldn't have given it to you there because it's given you some issue further down your face, whatever. She talked about this thing called,
this
I think
is
it's
the
called
problem.
Profilo. And it's basically they inject hyaluronic acid into your face instead of filler, and then it's basically just plumping it up. And she basically said my skin is just really dehydrated, which I never thought I had dry skin because it's not like flaky. And I got it done and I loved it. I felt so like fresh and happy.
You have to get it done twice, right?
Yeah, I'm getting the next one done I think in 3 weeks.
Okay,
I'm gonna
nice
do some laser and needling. But I just, it was nice to speak to someone who was very non-trigger happy with injectables, mm-hmm, and who was very much about doing as much as you can pre-injectable.
Also because when you speak to people who are really knowledgeable about it, they talk about, which I've already said but I'm repeating, they talk about the importance of all these different things that come together. So like for filler, the reason it can migrate, one of the reasons it can migrate and like move around in your face or whatever is because your skin's elasticity isn't tight. Well, like she basically, when I went to Laura and she was just like, oh, your skin, what we need to focus on is like tightening your skin and like getting collagen back into it, and like that's the aim. And so with that sort of thing, can be rationale actually works directly with like plastic surgeons and all these different people for like fixing skin through its skincare. It's like this whole thing where it's like very holistic. You can't just like shove a needle in and expect it to be fixed. But then all these new injectors just don't know any of this stuff because you'd have to put in like a lot of years of work and research.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a far bigger deal than it is. Like, it should be so thought out and so planned ahead of time, and you should really think about it. Whereas when I got filler done, I was just getting Botox, and she was like, "Do you want to get this?" And I was like, "Yeah,
why not?" Why it's because everyone wants to look nice. Everyone just wants. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing about it too. Like with Lauren, anything that she ever would do to me, which she like basically hasn't really done anything yet because she's just holding out. But like because she wants to focus on that sort of stuff, which to me is obviously important, but like boring because you just want to look, which is so crazy, but you just want to look different. Like you just want to look new and fresh and have something changed about you when you look in the mirror, which obviously can become such a bad and addictive thing where you see people who are just continue getting more and more surgery because they get so dysmorphic with how their faces look. But it's like when you go to the hair salon to get a haircut, that's why you're always wanting bangs because you're like, I don't want to leave here looking like the same old me.
Exactly. It's so true. And that's why, yeah, people get filler in the wrong place by someone who's kind of like, you could do this and then have to get it somewhere else to make up for that. And that's how suddenly you just slowly lose your grip on reality.
Yeah. Or things just start, like the filler face starts to look like your normal face. So then you're like, I need to change that one. Hey, you need to stop. I just realized. What are you, no biting my cord, you little fucking shit. She's fully like eating my cord.
I know, she loves the cord.
Have you seen All of Us Strangers?
No, I'm so desperate to watch it. But it's not on in cinemas here. I'm assuming I missed it and it's not on streaming.
I watched it yet. I think I just watched it on Amazon.
I haven't been able to find it. Is it amazing?
It's really good.
Is it really depressing? I think it might be on Disney Plus.
I hate Disney Plus.
Same. I got Disney Plus to watch something, I can't remember what, and then I tried to watch like an old Disney movie because I thought it would be cute, and even in the comfort and privacy of my own home, I felt too embarrassing and I turned it off.
Aww. What Disney movie?
Beauty and the Beast.
Aww.
I know, it's so cute. Maybe I'll give it a go again. Overcome my shame. My internalized shame.
All of Us Strangers was fucking good. I wish I'd gone to see it at the cinema, but Amar wouldn't go. I texted him and called him homophobic the other day because I said it was really, really good.
Wait, who directed it? Is it Andrew Haig? I believe. Who's really amazing. Yeah, there's a movie of his I've seen that was very similar, like extremely beautiful, heartbreaking, gay love story called Weekend.
Yeah, it's not even that much about their romance. It's so beautiful. And Paul Mescal Andrew Scott is also incredible. They're both really incredible in it, but fuck, Paul Mescal has such range. Like, he is such a good actor. It's crazy. And the roles he's chosen, he's just a clever man navigating this
taste.
Wild world.
This crazy world. Okay, I'll watch it. I'll watch it and report back.
I put it on the close friends and had a few girls reply being like, fuck, that was heartbreaking. But it's not even like sad, really. It's just beautifully done. It was an inspiring film. It was one of those films that made you just be like, I want to make art.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. And he's always in those. Like, After Sun gave me the same feeling.
Yeah, I haven't watched After Sun yet.
Haven't you? Fuck.
No, I feel like, I don't know, I'm like scared or something.
Yeah.
You know, some movies you just are like, I need to emotionally G up to watch this.
Yeah, it's really special. It's really special. I loved it. I loved like so much of it. And then I found one tiny part of the storyline really like confusing and could have been done better, in my opinion. Like, there was like this weird kind of flash. It's like a scene where they flash forward or back or something. And I was like, that was literally so confusing. I don't know what just happened then. And I don't think that's the point of it.
I'll have to watch it. I finally watched the Nan Goldin doc.
Oh, yeah.
On the weekend. I hadn't seen it.
She's so incredible.
So amazing. And I watched the John Galliano. This is a short recommendation.
I want to watch segment. That and talk about it more, though.
Yeah, well, we need to watch it and talk about it properly.
It's because you got to watch it It's on streamers for you, right? And I have to go to the cinema.
I went to the cinema. I went to see it with my dad.
Oh, nice. Maybe I need to find a friend. Phone a friend to go to the cinema. I keep meaning to go, and then every day it just...
Your neighbor's a good candidate.
True.
Fun. Yeah, we will. But if the girlies want to watch it so they can hear us talk about it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Movie club.
What else did I watch? Oh, I'm now watching... I'm finally watching I May Destroy You for the first time.
Oh, God. It will destroy you?
Yeah. It's... She's so clever. It's cool to watch... What she... I don't know. It's cool to just watch this show that she created and how well made it is.
She's literally a genius. Like, when you watch it, it's just... It's, like, such a fucking hard watch. But she's just... So brilliant. It's like a piece of, literally a piece of art.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm such a sucker for those shows, which are so few and far between, but those ones that perfectly encapsulate women of our age and our vibe and... things, just things that we do that we don't know we do. Like, I don't know, when she was just in the bathroom when they went to Italy on the girls trip off the back of her, like, having an advance or whatever, her, like, agent paid for it. And her and then they're in the bathroom and they were just getting ready for the girls' night out. And then she just started, like, singing, like, where is my drink? She was just sitting on the toilet just being like, where is my drink? I want to get drunk. And then her friend starts like twerking and they're like, where is my drink? I want to get drunk. And I was like, it's just funny because that's exactly what girls do on a night out. But you just don't, you'd never think to like talk, to make a Put scene a about TV a little show, rhyme that you just did. Like me and you, our podcast rhymes.
Exactly. It's so like that level of...
like girls.
Like perception or whatever. It's so amazing. Michaela Cole, I think it's, is it Cole or Cole? We truly need to get to the bottom of this one day.
We've Googled it. We've gotten to the bottom of it, but I can't remember what the answer was.
I agree. I have a feeling we were saying Cole and that was wrong.
I was definitely saying Cole.
Yeah, we were always saying Cole, and then I think we started saying Cole for some like weird reason, and then that was like not correct.
Okay.
We were overthinking it. But... she pops up in GQ, just did this amazing profile of Hunter Schafer. I loved the cover so much.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Wasn't actually styled by Dara. It was styled by the Euphoria.
Oh.
Costume designer.
Really?
Heidi.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I wonder why too.
Because Hunter Schafer has this amazing stylist called Dara, who is also Interview Magazine's fashion director. And she was just on the cover of Hollywood Reporter, named like one of the best stylists in working in Hollywood right now. And obviously puts Hunter in all these insane, beautiful fits. And then they're like best friends. So they just go to all these shows together. Dara's like the new Laura Roach.
Yeah. Amazing.
But yeah, in it, Hunter Schafer... it's one of those pieces you read and you're like, for fuck's sake, some people are just so talented.
I know, it is kind of sickening.
I didn't even know that how she became famous. Did
Neither.
You know that?
Yeah, I didn't know.
when she was 17, she became the youngest plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging North Carolina's House bill, which had banned trans people from using public bathrooms that didn't align with the gender listed on their birth certificate. And
so deranged.
Yeah. So since then, she basically got her first modeling job off the back of the,
like being so beautiful.
Off the back of being so beautiful, such a beautiful activist. And she was at that time, she came out in high school. Wait, where the fuck is the piece that I, oh yeah. So she came out in high school and then she signed this against the bill and then started writing op-eds and visual essays for like Teen Vogue and Rookie. And then she was on local news segments and her parents, she was really scared of public speaking. So her dad made public statements on her behalf, which is so special. And then, yeah, she got her first modeling gig and said that it was just such a, obviously, life-altering experience for someone who'd grown up in a boy's body when she's a girl. And so getting modeling contracts and being able to fully be embraced as a woman was just, like, so fucking special for her.
I think, like, the thing that staggered me about this, article was basically exactly that. She's just this creative girly who's just drifted from, like, beautiful career to beautiful career and acting. I knew Euphoria was her first role, but I didn't realize that she's literally was just in Euphoria and then she was in her first ever movie, like, last year and is now in another movie. She feels so established to me in the same way that Zendaya does.
Mm.
But she's literally done, I've seen one acting performance, but it was just so astounding.
Yeah.
That she just immediately became embedded into, like, fame and popular culture. No one saw Hunger Games. I'm sure some people did, but.
She said something like, yeah, I can't wing this shit. I really have to be intentional about the way I'm moving in the world. So she obviously grew up super young and is just very, very smart and has such a grasp on, like, who she is and what she wants to create. To the point that, like, yeah, it's her first ever acting gig and still Sam Levinson, for the first time ever, shared his writing credit with her for that episode that they made together. Like,
yeah,
he just must have been like, you're so clever and you're so talented and here you go.
I think that was my favorite episode of Euphoria as well. Like, the writing was just so good. I think, yeah, it's that thing. I probably said this before, but there's this TED talk about what draws you to certain people and how, like, the most dynamic, charismatic, attractive person to anyone in any room they walk into is someone that just is so completely themselves. And I think she explains it as, like, occupying the square that you're just supposed to occupy as a human being, and people are so drawn to that. And she talks about, like, Obama and people like that, and I feel as if Hunter Schaefer is one of those people. Just seems to be so authentic. So just listening to their own taste levels and following what their own interests are while also being insanely talented. It's, like, very like, magnetic.
Yes, exactly. And it feels, she's one of those people that it feels authentic if she were to just start doing art or if she were to just start doing, like, any other thing other than acting. It doesn't feel as though, you know how with some people it just feels like such a weird move when they sidestep into something like that? It just doesn't feel right.
Exactly. It just, yeah, it's so, so nice. I loved her talking about Dominic, is it Phil Feek? Fike.
Yeah, I don't know. Fike.
Fike. The long song man from Euphoria. It was so obvious that, like, even from the tiny inside, I feel like we as the general public got that she was so gaga over him.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel sad for her that it didn't work out. But she sounds like she's processed it.
Yeah, it didn't work out because he fucking cheated on her at Coachella last year.
Did he?
Yeah. And this piece says that called off again last April. Which was Coachella. Yeah, with, I always get confused about which Blackpink girl it was, but one of the Blackpink girls.
Oh.
I think Lisa.
Oh.
Yeah. Schaefer had never dated a man before him and never thought she would. I had so many shitty experiences with men before, not from dating them, but just in life. I think I'd built up a wall that was way too thick around them. And then I fell in love. That's really cute. And she said being with him allowed her to work through a lot of feelings of disdain she had towards men as a whole. Yeah. And she said she had a really beautiful relationship with him and it really opened her up in that way. And then she said it was also the first time she publicly dated another famous person, which made the breakup all the more exposed and painful. Because, yeah, it was, like, all over TikTok. Like, videos of him with the girl, with the Blackpink girl at Coachella. And then, well, like, not videos of them hooking up, but just videos of them hanging out and being super flirty. I dated other famous people before, but people didn't know about it. She clarifies it was completely different. And then this writer's like, who? I ask. People, and then she goes, people who care enough and have done their research probably know what's up. And the journalist goes, is this someone you recently went furniture shopping with? Schaefer laughs. Yes, she admits, but still hasn't said their name. She's not sure she should be talking about this at all, actually. So I drop it and we move on. The next day I ask Schaefer if she's checked in with Rosalia, the Spanish pop star and friend Schaefer has been seen furniture shopping with and has been linked to. Schaefer smiles. She talked over with Rosalia last night, she says, and is happy to confirm they dated for about 5 months in the fall and winter of 2019.
That's so special. That's two things to note on that. Firstly, just the amount of weird celebrity romances we've never heard about and will never hear about.
Oh, billions.
Like billions.
So many. Yeah, so many.
I must
date that we have no idea about.
And the second thing that always makes me laugh is the amount of like lesbian couples that have been literally out in the open for the whole world to see and just no one spots it.
Yeah, because they just think they're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she said it says it took her a few hangs to suss out the vibe and determine that they were in fact going on dates. These days they're friends, which is something Schaefer is proud of. They've been spotted around town recently getting smoothies and testing out couches. I have really beautiful friendships with the people I was once romantically involved with. So cute. There's been so much speculation for so long. Part of us just wanted to get it over with. And another part is like, it's none of anybody's fucking business. Ultimately though, it's something I'm happy to share. And I think she feels that way too.
Very cute. I will say, I don't know if the speculation was at such a fever pitch that she needed to address it, but I love that she did.
I know.
DeLulu queen.
Yeah. Because I saw photos of them furniture. I saw photos of them furniture shopping recently. And I think people were like, are they dating? But I haven't seen, I never saw any speculation they were dating years ago.
There's been so much speculation so long.
I fucking love it.
It's amazing. It's such like good fantasy.
Also 2019 was like early. So Euphoria season one must have come out. Mm-hmm. But Rosalia was like not that famous. And now they're both so major and so stylish and so hot. It's the most beautiful romance I've ever seen.
I know, a really beautiful romance. I would like them to get back together and for her to leave the bear.
Yeah.
Over the bed.
Forgetting that she goes out with that guy. I also always forget, and I like feel like it's not true in my brain, that Jacob Elordi goes out with that girl, Thingy's daughter. The Olivia Jay.
The college admissions scandal girl. I know. That's so a bad
random.
That's like
bad for the brand.
Bad for the brand. Rosalia and Hunter Schaefer, if they're at one end of some sort of spectrum, Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jade are at the other. Just like a couple that exists that you wish didn't versus a couple that doesn't that you wish did.
Yes, and at the end of with Rosalia and Hunter Schaefer is Sabrina Carpenter and Barry Keoghan, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Because you can have opposites attracting.
Yes, opposite energy is really fun. I think
Paul Mescal and Phoebe Bridgers were good.
Paul Mescal. Yeah, exactly. We need Jacob Elordi to go out with.
Yeah, whom?
Paul Mescal.
Yeah.
That might be too much too soon.
Jacob Elordi needs to go out with. I like how Harry Styles goes out with Taylor Russell.
Are they still going? That's cute.
Mm.
That's nice.
That's very cute. I don't know. We'll come back to you with who Jacob Elordi should
date. We need a stew on that and have a think.
I can't even think of a single person who it
Same. Gets. I'm like, who's a celebrity?
He should go out with... Oh, I forget he was on Euphoria.
I so know, now Euphoria coming to mind is from the show Euphoria. I was like, Sydney Sweeney, no.
That was the same thing. I was just thinking that. And I was like, wait, that's because he's on Euphoria. Wait, didn't he go out with... He went out with Zendaya. That was crazy.
That's the craziest thing that's ever happened. I believe the rumors are that he like broke her heart or was naughty or something.
Which yeah. Which
is just unbelievable. Her and Tom Holland are very much in the Hunter Schafer.
Oh yeah, they're Rosalia the best couple. Camp.
Why do I like them so much?
Do you know Penelope Cruz is married to Javier?
Yes.
Bardem. Like, I know it, but I forget it. Do you know what I mean?
I can't believe two such sexy people. And they got together just at both of their, like, the peaks of both of their beauties.
Yeah. They married in 2010 and they've just been together this whole time and have kids together. And I often see him and think, God, you're so hot and you're so cool. And then I see her and I'm like, you're the most special queen of the world. And they and then they go out. What the fuck?
I know, it's really, 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 I mean, they're really married. Good.
They're so beautiful and they're so Spanish and she always does like her gorgeous Spanish films and they're in Vicky Cristina Barcelona together and
dream.
They got together, I think, in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
I think they were there's a movie they're in together where they're both really young.
Yeah,
so it
that's
might
when
be
they
a
met.
Thing where they met there and then yeah. hooked up later. But in that movie where they met, they're both so, so hot. It's like astonishing.
Yeah.
I love beauty.
Take a photo of Penelope Cruz to the Botox woman.
To the Botox woman. She'll send me straight back out. So I love... She talks about rewatching Girls.
Yeah.
And she calls it a period piece. That killed me, but then I was like, she's 26. She's not that much younger than us.
No, but I think what she's meaning is it's so specific of its time.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I don't think it was a, like a...
Dig at old
so
people.
Crazily in the past, yeah.
Yeah.
The outfits she's so right about. The outfits were a stroke of genius.
I really want to rewatch Girls properly.
Should we do that? For the pod.
Yeah. It's also so sad that Angus Cloud died.
Yeah. It's... I know. I feel like I try not to think about it.
I know. But then when you think about the fact that... so Euphoria... Euphoria's third season has just been like put on hold indefinitely. So they've had to release... they had all the actors on hold. And now they've had to release them all so they can go and do other acting jobs. So they have no idea when they're going to film it again or if it's even going to come back. And apparently the issue is that they can't figure out... because there's going to be like a time jump and they can't figure out what they're doing because they've now finished high school. So they can go to college. I just feel like it's not that hard.
Should, yeah, I kind of feel like they should just leave it where it was.
Well, I feel like they kind of have to now because everyone's so famous and so busy.
It's like a nice story for it to be open-ended. And they'll make some weird season in like 10 years time with everyone. I kind of like that idea.
Also because Angus Cloud has died.
I know.
How are they going to wrap that up? It's all just... It's also so crazy because they were going to kill off his character at the end of season 2. And then Sam Levinson changed his mind.
Really?
Yeah. He told Angus Cloud that scene where there's the shoot up in the house... He was going to die, not his brother.
Mm. That's right, the brother.
Mm.
I know, I really liked... That was really cute, his little Maud Apatow. Yeah, I do just feel like there's too many disparate parts for them to bring it back together now, and it kind of makes it more culturally iconic if they just dump it and revisit later on.
Yeah, I agree. Also because now the idol... I feel like the idol flop has made... Euphoria has ruined Euphoria because now HBO doesn't trust him.
It's made him like more lame or something. It's like revealed too much that I feel like it's better if they just give it a break for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone's got too much on.
Everybody's busy. So the biggest thing that happened last week for me, and I think for a lot of people, was the release of Beyoncé's new album, Cowboy Carter. So I just feel like it was so highly anticipated from the moment she revealed that fucking cover, and the fact that she was doing a country album was just so shocking and so fucking ballsy. And I just think, I don't know, she's just one of those artists that is, I know we talk about it a lot, but she is just literally one of a kind. It's actually quite insane if you look at her body of work. Like, not making an entire visual album, Lemonade, off the back of your husband cheating on you and you having a miscarriage, and then making Renaissance and being like, right, I'm gonna like reclaim club culture and like its black roots, and releasing that fucking album, and then just being like, what, like when was Renaissance even released? I'm like, how have you had the time to make a 26 album fucking country album, 26 songs?
Yeah, I think that's the thing about Beyoncé. Like, you're obviously a like much bigger fan than I am. I'm not a fan, I'm just not a super fan, but I just think the thing I am so impressed by constantly is just the level of like thought and attention and care that she puts into her craft, and how she clearly creates these like whole worlds around her albums and thinks so deeply about the cultural impact they're going to have and how much power she has and what she wants to do with the music she makes. All the stuff we talked about with Renaissance, and now this is just, I think what we talked about with Renaissance was like the things that she had done and the decisions she had made and the producers she had worked with forced like the New York Times to write huge op-eds on these forgotten black artists in disco and club, like not disco, in club culture, and got people talking about it in that way. And like the exact same thing has been done again now with this album, and the way it's forcing the music industry to reflect on like the forgotten black history of country music. It seems like a novelty on first look that she's doing a country album and wearing the cowboy hat and doing magazine covers in cowboy, and there's always just like this titanic like iceberg of shit under the surface of why she does everything she does.
She's just always like, yeah, she just like never wavers in her kind of her goal and her aim and her mission and vision of just like uplifting black culture. It's crazy. She's just incredible. And the way she does it is just so, the way she does it is so inclusionary at the same time. Like, she, even just the way she reclaimed country, it's like she reclaimed country in a way where she used like a lot of the people that she worked with on her last album, and said this isn't a country album, it's a Beyoncé album, but at the same time didn't alienate any country listeners and has just brought in this whole new audience at the same time. Like, she's not being like, no white people can enjoy this because I'm promoting blackness. Like, she, I don't know, it's just, it's really cool because it's just like educational at the same time. It's like she understands the bigger purpose behind it. And mm-hmm. I think that it's not a coincidence at all that she released this in the same, in the election year.
Yeah, 100%, that's so true.
So she, yeah, she's the first black woman to get number one on the Billboard's Hot Country Songs chart.
Crazy. And like, even that in and of itself, it's just like, that's insane that we're still living through historical moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying.
And the way she hired like all of these, just the people she works with behind the scenes, not only on vocals and having them actually sing on tracks or talk on tracks. Like, she got Linda Martell, who's this black country singer whose 1970 album was the first charting country hit by a black woman. She got her to do spoken word for the intro of one of the songs. But she also got like these young black women who are striving for country careers onto one song together. But then the stuff that she does behind the scenes as well, like the producers she works with, like everyone she enlists is so intentional and so considered. And it's just like, it's mental that she can do all of that, and there's this huge point to everything she makes, but then she can still just make really good music at the same time.
It's, yeah, it's so amazing. There's this New York Times piece you put in our doc that I found so fascinating, talking about, like, A, the fact there has been, it has exposed as well. I've just seen, even looking on her Instagram, it has exposed a certain, like, really ugly underlying, like, racism in America about who gets to create country music and how country music is actually seen as a very white genre of music. When this piece basically talks about the fact that, A, she's from Texas, which I kind of know theoretically, but I don't. I feel like I didn't put that together. Like, she's from the fucking city. This is literally what she grew up around and listening to and
seeing. But she also, yeah, that with the country roots, but she also just grew up in the fucking south of America. Like, she's just like the most real, like, two black parents, country music. The early cowboys were enslaved black men in Texas. Yeah. She's just like the most real to be talking about this. That's like when she sings stuff, it's like, let's just listen to this woman.
She said in her, like, reveal of the album, this album has been over 5 years in the making, which is crazy. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed, and it was very clear that I wasn't. But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while also amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives to educating on our musical history. The criticisms I faced when I first entered this genre forced me to propel past the limitations that were put on me. Act Two is a result of challenging myself and taking my time to bend and blend genres together to create this body of work. So that's apparently referencing when she did a song on Lemonade, was like a country, Daddy Lessons was like a country inspired song. And then she performed a Dixie Chicks song at the 2016 Country Music Association Awards.
She performed that song with the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, sorry, with the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
And yeah, apparently got like a very chilly reception. And it's true that there is this expectation for artists to kind of just stay in their own lanes. And obviously for her, she felt that vibe of being pigeonholed and just wanted to like burst it open. It's very
being
cool.
Pigeonholed, but also I think people were literally just being racist. And I think that then made her be like, wait, what are the roots of country music? And then be like, oh, you fucking racist pricks. It comes from black people. So I'm just going to like come in here and make this album.
Yeah. It's super cool. I haven't listened to much of it, to be completely honest, but I listened to her cover of Jolene.
Oh, yeah. I love the Dolly Parton thing.
The Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton's. So silly.
I know. She's like, you know that hussy you sing about with the good hair? Vicky with the good hair. And then she like talks about Jolene being like, same shit. She just had different hair.
I like that in the song, in her version of Jolene, it's like, I can't remember the way she changed the lyrics, but she changed it basically, you know, Jolene, the original is so much about, like, please don't steal my man. You're so much more beautiful than me. You're so much more amazing than me, blah, blah, blah. And her version is very much like, you're a loser. There's like a thousand of you in a room. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was quite cool.
Yeah. And like, of course you want my man, but he doesn't want you. It's great. And then she has Miley Cyrus on it. I like the Miley Cyrus song. I feel the same. I've listened to the album. I have listened to it a lot, but it's 26 songs. And when I listen to it, I'm either in the car or running. So I feel like I don't have like a full grasp yet on track names that I like. There's like specific ones I come back to and I have stuck in my head. So I have, what's the one I have stuck in my head right now? 16 Carriages. It's also not my, I think another thing to note about it is it's not like I think I'm going to be like, oh, I'm so obsessed with this album. I fucking love it in the set. I mean, I could be. You could be surprised, because I just think the more you listen to things, the more you begin to appreciate them. But I just don't like country music historically. So I feel like it's not going to have the same pull on me that Renaissance did, where it was literally like life-changing experience. I still listen to that album. Like, I wonder how many hours I've streamed that album. But yeah, with this, I think it's, I also think with albums like this, it's such a, you just have to listen to them from start to finish and listen to them again and pull out the lyrics and like think on it.
And even the idea that she's released a 27 or whatever, 26 track album that's an hour and a half long, it feels so nice in this time where we're hearing about, you know, Charlie XCX and Florence and the Machine talking about how they're getting pressure from execs to create songs that are 90 seconds long so they can be streamed on TikTok and have these super recognizable riffs so they can go viral and blah, 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 to have a really popular mainstream artist just create something that's kind of big and expansive and like self-indulgent. I think it's nice if it takes people a few weeks to listen through fully and decide what they like instead of it being like the first three fucking days.
Yeah, exactly. It's already gotten more streams. It's gotten 250 million. All of the people on Twitter are just pulling stats out of their ass, so I'm not even sure if this is right, but it's gotten more streams than her last album did in the same, in 5 days than Renaissance did in 7 days.
Wow.
So she's just very clever.
So masterful. And just like, I just love how she's really at this stage where she doesn't have to do a single interview. She doesn't have to talk about it. She just literally lets the work speak for itself.
Yeah. She actually, I don't know, I haven't read it if she did do an interview, but she did W Magazine digital cover. It was their first ever digital cover. I think she did do an interview. Yeah, I think she maybe did an interview for her. I have to click on it. But also with that, like W Magazine, obviously, why a digital cover instead of a print one, because she's obviously the most major artist in the world, but it was because she was like, I need it to come out the same day as my album, and they they just can't release a magazine physically in that time frame, so they just did a digital cover.
That's so cool.
And the shoot is fucking sick. She's got like a lasso thing in the ear.
I actually really like that shoot as well.
Polly likes it too. In personal news, we're moving house.
Wait, so what? The one that you looked at last week?
Yep.
You loved it?
I did really like it. I think my house right now is cuter. Like, it's art deco and kind of got like nicer features. But this new house is like the same size and has a backyard. So only 13 more days of lugging myself out of bed half asleep and walking onto the sidewalk and falling over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the things we do for our children.
The things we do for love. So now, yeah, we're moving house and paying more rent so that Polly will be a happy girl. But that's why I'm so broke. I have to pay like $5,700 deposit this week.
Oh, my God.
USD, baby.
Good Lord. I mean, that's exciting. I do love to move. I wish I could come over and help you pack. That's my favorite way to spend a Saturday.
Is it? I need to sell packing shit now, which is annoying. Like things that I bought for this house, which I don't need for that house. Like a fridge. I had to buy a fridge for this house.
Oh, that's good. So now you've got one.
Yeah, so now I just sell this one.
Oh. She just yawned.
I know.
Animals are so crazy. Like, I can't believe they exist sometimes.
I know. Do you know what's also so crazy about being like an animal parent is with, this is going to sound so disgusting to anyone who doesn't have animals, but with my cat, like with Shiva and with Pocket, when they yawn, I like to like sniff their breath. It's so weird, right? But it
like,
smells
because you like it, or you're like checking.
No, just because it smells cute.
Oh, because
it smells like fish. Like it smells like their little like biscuits that they've eaten. It just is really cute. And then when Polly used to yawn, I'd be like, "Oh, that's so gross! Like your breath smells." And now I sniff hers. Some
like
weird
it.
Like pheromone thing. Some weird parent thing. Like with a baby, you know how everyone sniffs their toes and shit.
Sniffs babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cute. That's true. I always remember like Zach's family would always talk about how his like dog smelt like rice.
Yeah, I love it. Sniffing when Polly's been asleep. I love like sniffing her belly.
I need to know a love like this.
Yeah. Have a little baby.
Maybe I'll just have a baby instead. Easier.
Easier? Probably.
I want like a scruffy, you know those dogs you see in the UK that are just so scruffy.
Yeah, like I love scruffy dogs.
Yeah, I just want to like Harry McClary. I just want to scruff. Like, I don't even know what breed they are. They're just a scruffy mutt.
Yeah, I love scruffy dogs when they have like one ear up, one ear down. They're so cute. Yeah. There's a really cute one that comes to the dog park that sometimes plays with Polly. I'll take a little photo next time.
What are like the popular dogs in LA at the moment? What are the trendy dogs?
Everyone adopts here, so no one That's has nice. Cute dogs. All the
so
dogs.
So many Dachshunds around here. I saw someone sitting outside the Portuguese place with three Dachshunds on her lap. I was like, enough with these Dachshunds.
You guys need to get with the adoption.
Literally.
It's kind of frowned upon to have a designer dog here.
Yeah, I mean, it should be.
Polly looks like she's a designer dog, though, she does. Which is really funny. Like
is she a chihuahua?
She's a chihuahua.
Everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
She's a chihuahua, but like a mix because she basically looks like, what's cute about her, she looks like a mini dog because she's basically like a little bit terrier, but then it has chihuahua in her. So she looks like just a shrunken version of a big dog because she has more of like a prominent nose than a chihuahua would.
Cute.
So people, it's also really funny when you realize what people are into what dogs. So some people will look at Polly and just be like, oh my God, on the street. Mm-hmm. They're so obsessed with her. They just stare at her. They point at her. And then other people just don't look twice. And it's funny because I wouldn't have looked twice because she's so not my type of dog.
Not my type.
She's so not my type. My type was literally like Staffies and Rottweilers and Pitbulls.
Yeah, my type is English Bulldog. Whenever I see them, I just like stare and stare and stare.
Oh, and I've forgotten the other type that I love. Boxers. I love those kinds of dogs.
Oh yeah, and they're quite big.
They're so big and jumpy and so cute. But yeah, Polly, she's stolen my heart. Also, I don't know how anyone has a big dog. I don't know how anyone has a big dog.
I know,
it's fucking
that is
crazy.
True.
I pick her up with one hand. Just pick her up and walk around.
Just schlep her around.
Yeah. Big dogs are crazy. Especially when you've got like kids, you got to carry stuff. I always have so much stuff in my hands.
Does she like being in the car? Is it like easy to get her around?
Mm-hmm. She has a car seat.
really she has a nice.
Car seat. Which is in the back of the car, but often I just like shove her in the passenger seat because I can't be bothered. She gets all annoying when she's in the back. She wants to be up front with mummy. Don't you, Polly? Don't you, my precious girl? Okay, we should say goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Say bye, Polly. Say bye, Polly.
Say bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.